You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy Jay Binkley, and man, the Chiefs are 6-6, and this podcast might become a little bit more relevant to Chiefs fans sooner than I think we both thought it would, as we might be looking at a draft season coming up here a little earlier than we thought.
I think we're already there. I said to you, or was joking around with you, that I've been getting a lot of draft text at the end of games lately.
Yeah.
And this week was no different. It was probably more this week.
I'm sure.
Than it has been in the past. And what, the Chiefs are 13th right now, by the way.
13th?
Man. 13th in tankathon, 13th in draft order.
Moving on.
They're getting up there.
They might be in a good position to go get a really good player.
They're getting up there now into where all of a sudden, if you want to move up to top 10, it's not going to cost you very much.
Yeah, it's a feasible trade.
Or if you want to stay at 13, you can stay at 13. And again, book's not written. They go out and lose to Houston, they're creeping on that top 10, baby.
Yeah, they might. I mean, if they lose to Houston, they're 6-7.
I don't want them to. Don't get me wrong. I don't want it either.
I would much rather they pick 32. But
yeah, I want pick 32. That's the pick I want.
That's the pick I want every single year that they don't have to trade for. But yeah, no, it's absolutely – it's there is a silver lining in it, in that they can get a premium, they can have premium draft picks in basically every round.
I mean, the only bad part about it is their road games are Tennessee and the Raiders.
Right.
You and I and 900 listeners could beat both those teams.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's going to run their draft last week against the Raiders. That might mean two or three spots in the draft order.
It possibly could. Yeah, absolutely could. But first, I do want to talk about really kind of the situation that the Chiefs have, and really kind of the roster creation part of it. I think that Andy and Veach have let Patrick Mahomes down a little bit with how they constructed this roster. Because if you look at the offensive side of it, I think the main thing that they're really lacking, I kind of hate to beat a dead horse, but we've talked about this pretty much all year long. The running back situation and the running game situation, and really like what having a real true feature back in your offense can do for Patrick Mahomes and the passing game. I really think this whole situation has kind of let him down, because basically everything is on him to go out there and make magic happen. And, you know, it would be so much easier for the Chiefs offense if they had a running back that they could trust to, you know, get 20, 25 touches a game, and someone that could force defenses have to play a little more up on the line, because they know the run game, the short passing game with the running back is a legitimate threat. I really think that aspect of it, and also, you know, one of the things I was harping on, and I think you were in agreement with that, was upgrading the interior of the defensive line, getting a couple of guys at defensive tackle. And, you know, they did get a defensive tackle in Omar Norman Lott. He's hurt right now, torn ACL. And they did draft a defensive end in Ashton Gelati, but, you know, he hasn't really been very productive. We'll see what happens down the line. Felix is technically still on the team. Yeah, Felix is he is on the team as well.
Missed it with injury.
Yeah, it feels like the pass rush is not very effective at all. And it just feels like their plan this year was just, hey, let's put everything on Mahomes' shoulders to lead the team, and we'll supplement him with some guys here and there.
Well, they're 27th in sacks with 22.
Yes. And it's that's not anywhere near good enough for them to be able to get back to what they were. I really feel like those guys have let Mahomes down and put a lot of pressure on him that he shouldn't have to play with.
You know, the interesting thing about this is, though, I was looking at some numbers for the Chiefs and third and fourth down efficiency, things like that, and it led me down a rabbit hole. And, for instance, it was the first fourth down conversion the defense has given up in 7 weeks, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
When they gave a first down. They haven't done that since September.
No.
And now they're 18th in attempts against. They were mm-hmm. one. Teams are getting the memo not to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, yeah.
Third down defense got some work to do. But deep fourth down has been okay. But anyway, I was looking at running. They average 118.3 yards per game. Because I was looking at Houston's. Their running offense is 23rd in the NFL, averaging 107 yards.
Yeah, not very efficient
at all. Kansas City's running offense is sitting here at 15th, better than Houston, 118.3. I got to look at the numbers. I know it was just kind of fit into other years of Mahomes, the 7 years previously. It's number one. Last year, they were 105 yards a game. In his 7 years, they've been as low as 95 yards per game.
Yeah.
The two high water marks were 115.8, and they're at 118. Like, you wouldn't believe it. But this is actually the most rushing yards per game than they've had. But again, it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
And a lot of it
is Mahomes, too. Mahomes running, too.
No question. But there's a lot of games where he ran for 2 yards, 5 yards, 30, yeah. 30. He had a bunch in the beginning, like 67, 57.
Right. He's come down.
But that's come down to the mean. He's still on pace to have his best rushing yard year ever.
Yeah.
But he's a part of it. He's a part of the rushing. But it's interesting that they had over 140 yards this week. As bad as this running game looks, they're still doing it by committee.
Oh, yeah.
Which you don't want to see. You'd really have to put a back in there and let him, you know, be a three-down back. I just found that interesting that, yes, the rushing game is actually more productive than it ever has been. Again, you look at numbers. These numbers don't suck. They're number one on fourth down offense. They're number one on fourth down defense. They're number two in points points per drive. It's insane statistically how much stats lie. I mean, it shows you because Houston's offense is garbage with stats, but yet that defense, those numbers are legit.
Yeah, no, and that is the interesting thing about it is like they're incredibly inefficient running the football, but yeah, you're right, they are averaging more yards.
But by the end of the game, you look at yourself and say, oh my God, they're 15th, they're the top half of the league, top half of the league in rushing. Oh, 118.3, that's Mahomes' high water mark in 8 years, what they're doing this year, which is insane. You would never have expected that because they look like crap.
Right. And you know, again, efficiency is a big part of that.
It's Kareem Hunt.
You brought up how they are number one in points per drive. It's because they also, they're probably like, actually
well, number two in points per drive, but Houston's number one on defense.
But it's also because they probably have like first or second in time of possession in the league.
And here's the dirty secret. Here's the real reason why that offense is so good. The defense, again, when teams going against this team are 5 of 18 on fourth down. That is 13 times Mahomes is getting back on the field like a turnover. I mean, that's like plus
right around the middle of the field.
Because differential this year, the Chiefs are in differential plus two.
Yeah.
Well, that's plus 13 just on fourth down.
Correct.
So they're putting Mahomes out there in short field. That is a big reason why they're scoring. I keep telling people it's because of what they're doing on fourth down. Now teams aren't doing it.
Yeah.
So they've slid from 7th all the way down to 16th with teams going against them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at 57%. And they were number one, number one, number three, number five, and teams doing attempts. So that has drastically, statistically gone down. The memo is getting out there, and people are yelling at Shane Steichen and the Colts for not going for a fourth down. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
Listen, on third down, hot garbage. Fourth down.
Especially third and long.
For fourth down, for some reason, they figure crap out.
Yeah. No, it's you're 100% right on that. And it's one of the most frustrating parts about watching this team is that it's like the things that they generally have been good at,
yeah,
they're not quite as good this year.
People are making a huge deal of that tell, how Xavier Worthy had the quote tell against Buffalo. Like how he's running out. It's like, you don't think the Chiefs know tells? You think the Chiefs won the 7th straight AFC title games by not knowing your tells? They just did it to Buffalo. They knew Josh Allen ran to the left side, and they loaded up their defense and stopped him. That was a tell.
Yeah, like the
that was a clear tell Buffalo did.
In the AFC Championship game, they knew he runs to his right a lot. So they sent a blitz from the right, and then he didn't even look to his left.
Fourth down, though, on his tush push, I think he goes to the left.
He does to the left. Yeah, on that. Yeah, I'm talking about the tush push,
but that was a tell.
Yeah.
I mean, the Chiefs know tells. They just don't go talking about it.
Yeah,
on
the
pushes,
yeah, they know that he goes to the left. I was talking about the last play.
But the Chiefs have tells on everybody, but he can say it.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like the Bills.
But the Chiefs also have tells because we saw that in the Colts game with the RPO.
Of course they do.
Mayetsu Latu sat there on the RPO, and he was able to tip it up and get a pick. So.
I think the Chiefs do. I think all teams do. I think that the baseball teams don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And usually football teams don't talk about it.
No, but they do. Everyone has tells.
Yeah.
That gets me to my next point, though, about the coaching. I feel like you bring up tells. Andy and Spags do have their tells. And I feel like this year, it seems like they're more so trying to coast and do what they've been doing instead of making adjustments as teams figure out, okay, we know what you're going to do in these scenarios.
It's a bigger guy in an arm wrestling competition. He walks in, he's got muscles at the ass, and he sits down going, I'm going to destroy you. Then he gets beat.
Yeah.
That's why they're so used to beating people, that they walk in all big and bad, and occasionally they get beat.
And this year, it's been a whole lot of in crucial moments when you need to make a play. The other team seems to know what you want to do in those scenarios. They've been able teams have been able to get key stops on plays that the Chiefs normally like to do because the Chiefs normally like to do those things and they go to the well too many times instead of adjust. And this is the reason why, you know, like we talked about, what was this last week, about how if you're going to run more under center, you should also pass more under center because teams aren't going to expect that.
Everybody wants them to go under center, run the ball under center. I'm like, well, you keep doing that.
Everyone's
and they're
going to
know your ass is running.
They're going to know. They're going to sell out on the run when you're under center.
Oh, they're going to Kareem.
Yep. So it's like, that's why you have to change things up so that the opposing defensive coordinator doesn't know. Because, like, here's the thing.
And deal with Kareem in the game, not Breshard.
Yeah, Breshard.
You keep it consistent with him.
Yeah, because you know if you put Kareem in, if you put Breshard in there, they're not going to run.
They're going to throw to him. You put Kareem in there, you're going to run. I mean, it's pretty easy what they're going to do.
And this is the reason why we were talking about giving the ball more to Breshard. Because, A, we want to see what Breshard could do with carries, but also because every time you bring Breshard out there, almost every time he's out there, it's a passing play. Well, he's not running the football.
He needs to, because this draft class, honestly, we're getting further enough in the season, and you start looking for those impacts, the draft picks.
Yeah.
And we want to see more from Breshard. I don't think that's 100% his fault, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think
but
so either.
The draft class, as all, we want to see more Noel Williams. Again, he's not playing. It's not his fault. But you want to see more from the draft class. I think the draft class, for the most part, has been a lot of incomplete for this year. I mean, it's all said and done. It's not the best of draft class.
No, it's hard to judge because a lot of these guys aren't playing.
Injuries.
And Noel Williams not getting as much usage.
Mike Simmons actually has been the bright spot despite the missed games.
Simmons has been awesome. It's unfortunate he had that wrist injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like I've been a huge fan of what Noel has done, but then it seems like for some reason lately he's not getting quite the playing
time.
He's
going to with Jalen Watson and McDuffie keep playing like that.
I'll say this. At this point, like I think the secret's out on McDuffie.
If you talk about moneymakers, they're going the wrong way.
Big physical receiver.
Yeah.
Put him on McDuffie. We saw this in the Super Bowl, A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown kicked his ass the entire game because he's just way bigger than Trent.
And some of those penalties, I get it. They were bogus.
They were BS penalties.
But here's the fact. The most pass interference penalties in the one half in 35 years. Four of the Chiefs' defense, one of their offense.
Yeah.
And some of them were legit. I mean, I do. I think some were good calls, but some of them weren't. So what were they going to do? I mean, they're bigger physical receivers. Andy Reid said, what are they supposed to do? But you watch, I don't know, I know you watch college football. Would you watch that Texas A&M game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Texas A&M was all over one of the Texas receivers.
Oh, yeah.
All over him. It was blatant pass interference. They didn't call it. And I'm going, you serious? This would have got like five flags. Oh,
every ref on the field in the NFL.
Oh, my God. It was so brutal. I was like, I can get letting these guys play, but I mean, damn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, That was the thing that was, and also I think on some of those you could call OPI on some of those because it was very obvious that like
I think in the most part McDuffie got screwed on some.
He did. I agree with that, but also like McDuffie is a terrible matchup for guys as big as CeeDee Lamb and George. Pickens.
It wasn't a great matchup.
He's not a good matchup for AJ Brown, and that's the reason why.
That's why we were those guys, man. I like bigger physical receivers. I like that because you know what, good shit can happen when you have a receiver that big. You throw down. Downfield, they're probably going to give it to the Chiefs. They like to do that.
Yeah.
And even if Mahomes completes a 50-yard bomb, even if he doesn't, that ball might be spotted right where his spot foul. I mean, and he can get those. Manning used to do that all the time. So did Brady. They didn't always complete that 50 or 60-yarder, but they threw it up and they drew that flag.
Yeah.
And it still counts the same.
Yeah, I mean, Andy might have to make an adjustment on that and try to get one guy like that, one of those bigger physical receivers.
And if you get a free play, you got to catch it.
Yeah, I mean, hell, maybe they bring in Nick Harbor and see what he can do there. Because, I mean, he's 6'5".
And faster than hell.
He's faster than hell. So it's like maybe that's the guy.
He fits into what they do.
He would be a T.O. type where he's just this physical unit, but he's also really fast, too.
Yeah, I'd take Nick Harbor.
Oh yeah! At this point, the way
we're going to Jugs machine every day, though.
Yeah. So yeah, like I said, yeah, he definitely needs that. Though he looked pretty good this past weekend. But yeah, I think the coaching needs a rework from Andy and Spags. I think defensively, like they gotta play Trent more in the slot. Like having him on the outside, it's out on him now.
That's his spot.
It's his. Especially because it means that you don't have to play Shamari Connor.
What can they do? I mean, Andy's still extremely effective. Spags is still extremely effective. Tobe isn't. I mean,
he's not having a great year.
That's one that they can. And here's the people want fresh eyes. They have done it once before. They brought in Chris Ault to work with Alex Smith with the pistol offense because he came up with the pistol offense for the FBS level.
Right.
He's credited for it. So the Chiefs brought him in. And it was during the season, like, hey, come work with our guy. And they did. He worked with Alex Smith, and it was a good thing for Alex Smith. And it actually worked for him with the ankles from the pistol. You know, instead of being the shotgun, the pistol, it, like, fit his skill set. And the next year, they said, all right, Chris, we want you exclusive. So they have brought in other eyes. And I know at training camp, they bring in other people. Hell, Gruden was here for a day. He was giving advice. Antonio Pierce from the Raiders was here. Hey, what did you do to limit us? Because Antonio Pierce played the Chiefs well.
Yeah.
And he had him at training camp. So I understand in training camp they learn and listen to these guys. But can they do it during the season? I think they need more of this.
I think they need somebody to say, hey, here's the things that you are deficient at.
You can't go stale. I don't care how long you've been there. You can do it. As good as you are, you can go stale.
And right now it kind of seems like both sides of the ball are a little stale.
If you're not always trying to get better, people will catch it.
Yeah.
This league is too smart with too smart of people being paid to do it. They will catch you.
And right now it looks like teams are starting to catch up.
You can't always outrun everybody.
Nope.
They'll catch your ass.
You can't. It's the reason why we talk about this all the time. The draft is the lifeblood of teams like the Chiefs. Yeah. Because it allows you to restock on talent, but it doesn't matter how much talent you get if you're not putting those guys in the best
position. It's why Sean Payton and Harbaugh and all these guys, they see the Chiefs on the schedule and they circle them.
Yeah.
Everybody does. Chiefs. Yeah. Okay, Chiefs. All right, we need to get past this team.
Right.
And that's the bullseye. So, yeah, you can always bring in other eyes and ears. Not saying you replace these guys.
No.
The only one I'd consider at this point is maybe Tobe because of how bad the special teams have been.
I'm willing to give him grace because the special teams have also been great during his tenure. So,
well, they have been.
But at the same time, like, something's got to change there.
But this year, if Remigio has a 25, 30-yard return, you're like, where's the flag?
There's always a flag.
Where's the flag?
Yeah. It's like any return, you're
and
looking
Sky
for
Moore's
a flag.
Kicking all sorts of ass returning kicks.
Yeah. So it definitely there's some question marks for sure. They're going to have to definitely make some changes on special teams. I think at least with the personnel, but, we'll see if maybe there's a change with the coaching. I do want to get into a situation that doesn't involve the Chiefs, but does potentially affect the draft. And that is the Lane Kiffin situation with Ole Miss. He's now the head coach for LSU.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026.
Soccer practice every week.
Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner.
When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Two. That was rumored pretty much all week. It was basically between Ole Miss, Florida, LSU. You know how I feel about him in Florida. I did not want him at Florida. I thought that would be a disastrous hire because I know we know how Lane Kiffin is. He doesn't do things without any sort of – he's very rarely not chaotic.
He thought he shed that, but no.
I didn't buy it for a second because I was like, look, man, Al Davis hated him so much, he – had an overhead projector brought in so that he could tell you all the reasons why he hated Lane Kiffin after he fired him from the
Raiders. There is good news on the Lane Kiffin front that did come out today. Charlie Weiss, who did hop on that plane with Lane Kiffin to Baton Rouge, he was allowed to go back.
You want to know why?
He was allowed to go back to coach.
You want to know why he allowed him? Because he's going to get a bonus from LSU. Yeah.
But the good news is, but I wonder how he's going to be received. Because you go walking back in that room and
we'll
those fans.
We'll see.
Well, listen, it's great having your offensive coordinator back. But if he walks in that room and everybody's middle fingers up.
I'm sure people are going to be side-eyeing him.
Hopped on the plane with him.
He did.
And they don't forget that.
Yeah. No, Lane Kiffin did that because he wanted that bonus that LSU promised him, depending on Ole Miss's performance in the.
He just stayed there. He has a statue. He's a legend there.
He doesn't have the pressure of being LSU.
They put his whistle up on the Ring of Honor.
Ed Orgeron got fired 2 years after winning a title.
Hey, he loses 3 or 4 games at Ole Miss. He's still coming
they're
back.
Happy.
He loses 3 or 4 games at LSU.
At LSU, they're talking about the next coach.
He's going to be Brian Kelly'd.
Yes.
Which, by the way, LSU will be going to the bowl game.
Yeah. Like, they literally. He had the opportunity to just sit and coast at Ole Miss. Ole Miss has been better than LSU the last 3 years. What did he need to leave for?
And he's got a ton of talent.
Ton of recruiting.
Kwon Lacy transferred Missouri down there.
Trinidad Chambliss from Ferris State. DeJohn Stribling from Oklahoma State. I don't remember who Trey Wallace transferred from.
He did well in the portal. And Ole Miss got the boosters, and they were paying up on this. That's why it's so surprising. And, and the thing is, you always wish for something. Like Penn State's kind of going through this. They fired James Franklin. A guy that
Penn State is going through it because Kalani Sitake is staying where he's at.
BYU ponied up. There's a lot of money out there, BYU.
BYU got a lot of money.
They're like, okay, what do you want? But we don't want to fight another coach. We like you. So, you know what? He's staying.
He got almost $10 million.
There's 6 teams now that have big extensions with the guys going forward. Because Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, Drinkwitz
at Cignetti. Mizzou, Cignetti.
A smaller version, but Jason Eck at New Mexico, they had a good year, so he's staying there. But more and more guys are getting their extensions and staying put.
And you saw that with like Clark Lee and Vandy.
And Satake just got one too. So.
Yeah, he just got one. But you see that with like Clark Lee and Vandy. He just got a five-star quarterback in Jared Curtis to flip from Georgia.
He could have gone wherever he wants. But the bottom line is, the grass isn't always as Penn State. Because now Summerall's in Florida.
Yeah.
And now...
I mean, who are they going to hire? Like, everybody's bringing up
Chesney's Kalen. Out at UCLA.
Yeah, because yeah, he's over there from JMU, and so now like the talk is like maybe Kalen DeBoer makes the jump from Alabama to Penn State, but like
that could happen.
It could happen. I'm not going to discount that. I'll tell you this: if it were to happen, it would be one of the funniest things for Alabama to basically be out of a head coach.
There's still pressure at Penn State clearly because that's James Franklin.
Yeah, and it's Penn State. There's expectations there.
The money's at Alabama. Money's hand over fist at Alabama and Penn State, so they're fine.
Yeah, no, it's just funny now because like if that were to happen, Alabama, I mean, who are they going to get now?
Yeah,
because like the market's kind of dried up here a little bit.
No, it is. All these coaches. This was a coaching carousel. Every time I looked at ESPN,
I hate it.
Was getting an extension.
I hate it for the players though, because now these guys, like, first off, these kids got to be pissed about the fact that their team is now down their head coach, down a lot of their assistants on their offensive side, and so like, I mean, and
Matt
certainly
Rule.
You said what?
Matt Rule, Brett Lashley as well, Mike Elko as well. Extensions.
Yeah, Matt Rule extended.
And Joey McGuire just got one at Texas Tech.
Yeah, Joey McGuire.
So I'm sorry,
go ahead.
But they're just more extensions.
But and you know Elko as well. Yeah, which Elko's killing it right now at A&M. I feel bad for those players because they do have a lot of pro prospects. If not this year, next year, like Kawan Lacy's one of the guys that in 27 I think is going to be one of the best running back recruits out there, which is funny because he's former Mizzou guy. Ahmad Hardy is probably, you know, could be the top running back in the 27th class.
So,
you know, you could have multiple former, multiple Mizzou running backs or former Mizzou running backs.
Don't sleep with these dudes at LSU.
In that 27th class. I just don't like that in this scenario, you got these kids about to go play in the biggest games of their lives. And their coach decided to dip. And now it's like it could hurt Trinidad Chambliss because, Chambliss is trying to go out here and get drafted.
He's trying to get or come back and get 1 year. He has filed a petition. Because keep in mind, in 2022, he went and played like three games at Ferris State.
Right.
They didn't redshirt. They don't redshirt there.
Yeah, they do.
So he could have got a redshirt there. So technically, he could play another year, which he might do with Trinidad Chambliss.
Maybe.
So we'll see the direction that they go. But yes, I mean, and here's the bad thing. In this, I'm not defending Lane at all. What he did was crappy. But signing day is tomorrow. Early signing day from the 3rd to the 5th.
Yep.
So.
And the portal opens tomorrow, too.
Second of January to the 16th.
Oh, the 2nd. Oh, yeah, you're right.
But the good news is
they can officially register?
Yes, but the good news is they get 5 more days once their playoffs are done.
Yeah.
So now they get more time to do it, which is good. But I agree with Sam when he's saying, like, look at the NFL. We don't let you talk to our coaches until the bye week. They give a very short window, and you have to wait till the teams that lost are out of the season. Then you can talk to them. College football, you'd like to say they'd be a perfect system. But the problem is, when you have the signing day in the portal, these coaches want to be somewhere else so they can get started.
Yeah.
Like Lane Kiffin's already recruited. He was recruiting last night.
Oh, yeah.
He had a freaking number one tackle in the nation.
Yeah, I mean, John Summerall, he flew back to New Orleans for Tulane.
Because they're going
to
let him coach.
Because they're going to let him coach. But he was talking to recruits for Florida on Sunday night after he got announced.
Crazy.
He was doing Zoom calls with Florida recruits because it looks like Florida might be able to keep most if not all
But this
of their
is why they're
recruits.
Leaving. If anybody wants to know why Lane's leaving out, sucks. It's a bad situation.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. Like, the way that the NFL does it is probably the way that college should do it. And, you know, but also at the same time, early signing day is a problem. And then on top of that, they moved the actual regular signing day up now, so now it's in early February.
And
Perbula
could have benefited from the rules this year because he could have stayed with Penn State in the playoffs.
Yeah,
That happen, he could have stayed there and then moved to Missouri. He could have played for
right.
But James Franklin was credit him. He was cool about it. Like, listen, he's got to do what he has to do. This sucks, but he's got to do it. And Franklin was very transparent about that. He didn't say, "Don't blame this kid. He's doing what he has to do."
Yeah, I just like I said, I don't have a problem. Like. My thing is just, I hate it for the kids because they're about to go play in the playoff. This is great film. This is a great time for them to put good film
out
there.
I hate
it
when they lose their coordinators. I'm glad that they let Weiss come back to Ole Miss. It's like, dude, you losing your offensive coordinator in Lane?
Yeah,
that's what that team is, man.
Yeah, exactly.
The team's an offensive. I know their defense has been good in past years, but this year's about their offense.
It's all about the offense. And, I mean, it was like that last year, too, with Jackson Dart.
But you're losing all these people, and I get it, man. But when you start losing all these assistants... Jeez.
Yeah, and it's tough to do it.
It's like Eric Morris has stayed at North Texas.
Yeah.
But still, you're kind of distracted because you're trying to build that staff for Oklahoma State, and you're poaching guys on your own coaching staff.
Oh, yeah.
And you're asking them to prepare for a team like North Texas in the American Championship against Tulane, and Tulane's going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a problem. That's a problem for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
That their coach now is distracted. So that meeting time that they had with those kids coming in their room, it was like, can you hold on a second? Can you hold on an hour? I'm doing some Oklahoma State crap.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough part about this whole scenario there. And I don't like it for the players. I mean, it's certainly there is kind of a tough spot for the coaches.
System screwed.
But like at the same time, like Kiffin could have just stayed. He had a good job. He was making good money. He could leverage that for more money because Ole Miss offered him basically the same contract.
Money.
So it wasn't a money thing. So it really, like, what it came down to was. And to me, this is the reason why it might be a situation where you do see a problem with those offensive players when Charlie Weiss Jr. comes in there. Because like Lane Kiffin basically said, I don't think you guys can win the college football playoff. And that's the reason why.
Lane's got more wins in the history of Ole Miss right now.
Yeah.
In the regular season.
Do you think he's ever going to be? He's the greatest coach in Ole Miss history.
I went through Ole Miss one time on the way back from SEC Media Days when I was in the car. I was like, I'll just stop by here. Went right down Manning Way.
Yeah.
For Arch Manning, right down Manning Lane, that could have been Kiffin Boulevard.
He could have been what Nick Saban is in Tuscaloosa.
And Nick Saban fired his ass.
Yeah.
Before the national title game.
Because he was too focused on FAU.
Yeah, he gave Sark the job.
Yeah.
And Saban's his guy.
Yeah.
And Saban said, nah, you blank your get off the pot.
Yeah. No, like that's the reason why this whole situation is messed up. I feel bad for the players. There is some legitimate concerns about the calendar, but at the end of the day, Kiffin could have stayed and he would have been in
the I don't think the calendar helps kids though.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't help the kids or the coaches.
No.
It's a tough spot. But also, there really isn't a fix because the reason why the signing days are so early is because a lot of these kids they go early so they can get a head start on the next season.
I mean, I don't know who to believe or not. I mean, he said, she said. But I think there was some truth. Hey, get on that plane. We'll say, so just leave my whole life behind me? Just pack in a suitcase, get on that plane to Baton Rouge? I mean, he put his coaches in a tough spot.
Oh, no, here's the thing is, I believe that's what he did because it's the same thing that Nick Saban did when he left Michigan State.
He put those assistant coaches in a tough spot because they want to save their ass.
Oh, yeah.
They want money still.
Yeah.
And maybe they didn't get along with the intern or the guy that's taking over as head coach. Maybe getting along with them. And they're sitting there going, well, crap. Well, I've been with Lane since FAU and Alabama. So, I mean, it puts them in a bad spot. That's why I don't really blame the assistants.
I don't blame the assistants. Like I said, I'm not mad at the assistants. To me, it's Lane. Yeah. Like, that's the one. It's like, you didn't have to leave.
You get on that plane and you're never doing it. I mean, yeah. Come on, man.
Putting them in a bad spot, and you know that he's going to try to recruit a lot of his players that end up staying.
Guaranteed Trinidad he's gonna try to poach.
Oh yeah, I guarantee if Trinidad doesn't enter the draft, he is he's going to do everything he can.
Because they've already tried to get that extra year, which they'll get him at because he should have been granted it. Because they're doing JUCO now, so they'll do Division II.
Yeah. Like I said, it's a bad situation overall. So I want to get to the rivalry week recap. Last week of the regular season for college football, I thought there were a lot of really good matchups, but some of those matchups that we thought were going to be really good didn't really pan out that much.
Wasn't many underdogs winning.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a lot of underdogs winning. It wasn't a whole lot of, like, super, super competitive games. Starting off with Indiana and Purdue. Indiana, they waxed Purdue 56-3. Fernando Mendoza, I mean, judging by the stat line, I didn't really watch this game, but judging by the stat line, I mean, he definitely cruised to an easy one, 8 of 15, 117, two touchdowns. Clearly, they were just so far ahead, it didn't matter. I know Roman Hemby had a really good game, 12 carries for 152 and a touchdown. So, you know, between those two, they really didn't play very much. They got ahead very quick, and then let's put the backups in and let them go get some time out there and, you know, save it for the Big Ten championship game.
Indiana's so tough, man. We had two more Saturdays. This Saturday, that 1 week in the college football playoffs.
Right.
But our Saturdays have definitely changed.
Yeah, definitely changed. It's going to be a lot lighter here because we're going to get into bowl season and playoff season here pretty soon. A&M took on Texas. This was an upset by Texas. Texas wins at home 27-17. A&M's offense did not play very well at all in this game. And Texas just happened to just make plays as in the second half there because they were down 10-3 at the half. Casey Conception, 5 catches for 57 yards. He was their leading receiver for the Aggies, so not the best day offensively. Arch Manning, 179 passing yards and a passing touchdown. He had 53 rushing yards in a rushing touchdown. Like 36 of those came on one run though. A decent day from Arch Manning. There's some people trying to talk him back into this class as one of the top quarterback prospects. I think he should wait till 27. I think he would be so much better served waiting until 27 because if you're a team that is looking to draft and stash, you will take him in the first round. But if you're looking to draft him and play him immediately, I don't think it's a good idea because I think you might ruin this kid because, you know, we've seen him play against an NFL-style defense when they played Ohio State and they had Matt Patricia there calling their defense. He didn't look good. And
if you listen to his grandpa come back, Eli and Peyton probably advise the same thing. So
yeah, well, I hope they do.
I would guess they would suggest the same thing because 27 draft is shaping up to be big time, man.
It's so good, man.
Shaping up to be big time.
Yeah. Quintravion Wisner, he had 156 yards for the Longhorns. Jack Hendrys, 4 catches for 93 yards.
I'll get more to him later, but he showed some athleticism, man. This was some Gunnar Helm type athleticism. He was leaping over guys, and he had his best game. But again, I mean, on the stat sheet, nobody's one of their top receivers at Texas.
He is.
And he's reliable, but he showed some athleticism. He showed why I think he should be considered a top five tight end in the draft. He needed this game. This is a big game for Jack.
I agree. I think that Hendrys was needing to go out there and have a game like this on his resume, especially against that opponent, too, because people are going to – he wasn't quite Oscar Delp because, I think the biggest thing that's going to hurt Oscar Delp is the lack of production. But we see the athleticism on film. Hendrys not only showed the athleticism, but he also had a big game. So you know he can be productive.
It's so funny that top 5-10 in transfer from Cal. Fernando Mendoza transfer from Cal. They fired Will Cox. They're going to make a bowl game. It's like, understand who the hell you are. You're Cal, man.
You are Cal. Like, this is the reason why,
lose two big-time draft prospects. And come on.
It's like the whole, talk about, Chris Klieman at Kansas State. And I'm like, look, man, you're Kansas State.
Who else you going to get? I understand who the hell you are.
Who you know, unless you are really about that life and you are really trying to spend the kind of money you need to be a national title contender, don't fire your coach.
Coaches can make a difference. So we all know that Vrabel and Ben Johnson, they're the number one seeds in each conference.
They're killing it right now.
Those are the two big names.
Two guys who are hired this offseason.
But you're not getting a big name at Cal.
No. You're not UCLA. Yeah. You're not USC. You are Cal.
Offense to Cal, but
you know who you are.
You might have lost the number one quarterback prospect in the draft. Of course, the Heisman Trophy.
And they might have lost the guy in Saga Patele, who was one of the best true freshman quarterbacks out there.
And they're going to a freaking bowl game.
Yeah. And you might, now you're probably going to have your team, Saga Patele is probably going to go back up to Eugene and play for Dan Lane.
If he didn't get a head coaching job, I'd be bringing his ass in as defensive coordinator.
100%, yeah. Georgia took on Georgia Tech. This was an ugly-ass game, 16-9.
So Georgia does, man.
Yeah, this was not good. Gunnar Stockton had 70 passing yards.
Year before, it was 8 overtimes.
Right, yeah. This was not that.
It's a rivalry game. Rivalry weekend.
This was as ugly as you could.
They played in Atlanta. I guess they got $8 million to go play in Atlanta instead of at Georgia Tech.
Oh, it makes sense. Go play a game at the Mercedes.
Yeah. So they did, yeah.
Zachariah Branch, the Mecole Hardman copy, he's 53 yards and a touchdown. Kristen Miller had a sack in this game. So.
I saw our guy, man. They were spotlighting our guy.
Oh, I know. It's good. I was glad. I was happy to see that, and I was like, good, Kristen. Like, get some more good film out there. Though, with the way that the Chiefs are sitting, they might be able to get someone even better. They might be able to get a Caleb Banks, or even I was doing mock drafts this weekend. I was able to go get Peter Woods from Clemson.
We'll get Peter Woods there.
And Peter Woods from Clemson, that's my dream.
So we need these quarterbacks to step up, man. The quarterbacks let us down.
Yes, yes. Ole Miss took on Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl on Friday. Not the most entertaining game, but it was all right. I mean, Trinity Chambliss had a really good game, 359, four touchdowns.
Are you buying their locker rooms broken into twice? That's what Lane Kiffin said before the game to Marty Smith. He goes, they came in about 10:15, but our equipment manager was so good he put cameras in. They broke back in at 3 o'clock. We called Mississippi State for security, and they stole Chambliss' jersey. You buying that shit?
I don't know if I'm buying it. I think.
But that's a good rivalry thing, right?
It is a good rivalry thing. I hope it's true. But I kind of feel like Lane is probably trying to stir something up to make himself seem like a victim and draw the attention away
from the fact
that he was about to break their hearts in 48 hours.
No, he did too.
But Chambliss had a good game. Trey Wallace, four catches, 72, and a touchdown. Prince Will Omanmielen had a sack in this game. This is going to be big. See, he's draft eligible. He's had a good season. I think he's at like 6-7 sacks on the year. But I wonder if he's going to – he might, because he's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
And their head coach, who's the defensive coordinator, now promoted to permanent head coach. I wonder if there's a split there where the offensive guys might jump. Defensive guys are going to stay loyal to Ole Miss because, hey, this is who
it's
we are.
It's been a top 30 defense, though.
Yeah, they've been a very good defense there. So that's going to be interesting. Brennan Thompson, he had six catches for 80 yards for Mississippi State. So good film for him. You have Iowa and Nebraska. Emmett Johnson, he tore the game up, 29 carries, 217.
Nobody respects this guy. He's still 8th, 10th running backs.
I don't even see him on the mock draft simulator on PFF.
He on some of them he is, but he's way down there. It's like, you're sleeping on this guy, man.
Yeah, he
is. He's all they got.
This kid is, he is their offense.
He's been
their offense the entire year.
He's the focus. You go in and you stop him, you're going to win the game.
You're going to win a game. Dude, Emmett is, he had 217. He had a touchdown. He also was their leading receiver.
Yeah.
Two catches for 22 yards. Led them in receiving.
Yeah, they don't get 16 points even without him. And they were rolled in this game by Iowa. But, again, he's their offense without
like I said, he accounted for almost 250 yards from scrimmage. And they lose by 24 points. So that tells you what they are. I mean, man, Emmett Johnson, very, very disrespected there. He's going to be someone that probably gets drafted late, and he's going to be a steal. It'd be nice if he was with the Chiefs. I really like Emmett Johnson. Ohio State took on Michigan. This game was slow. It wasn't super exciting, but it felt like it was like a heavyweight boxing match.
It was a rivalry game.
Ohio State just smothered them in the second half.
Crappy weather. I know that the Cardell Tate had a good game. It's good seeing him back.
82 and a touchdown.
He hadn't been playing basically since the beginning of November. But I know his numbers aren't going to show up here with the tight end, Max Clair. He was doing some things off the ball. He was blocking really, really well. He was a decoy a lot. But his blocking really stood out in this game. I know it's going to show up on stat sheets. But Max Clair, to me, had a really good game. It's kind of that. As a decoy time, but his blocking was exceptional.
He was very physical. He was very physical in the run game and the short pass.
Because I thought he had a great game despite the numbers.
Me too.
He had a good scouts game.
And Claire's going to be one of those guys that's a mid-round guy that, like, he's going to be a good value for whoever.
Him
takes.
Or Andrews.
Yeah, him or both those guys are going to be good mid-round value.
But I know Claire's got a lot more run.
Yeah, he is starting to get a lot more run for sure. Kenyatta Jackson had a sack in his game, the edge rusher for the Buckeyes. And Davison Igbinison, he had the game-sealing interception in this game. He looked really good playing man coverage, really good in deep zone coverage. I like what I saw from Igbinison. This is a guy we've had on the watch list, you know, throughout the year for the Buckeyes. Texas Tech, West Virginia. This is such a bad game. I had this on. I had the multi-view four games on, and this was the first one. I was like, "Yeah, I'm not paying attention."
Man, Tech's legit, man.
They're really, really, that especially defense, on defense, man.
People don't give that defense credit, but because you think of Texas Tech, you think of offense all the time. The defense No, this defense is legit, but their offense legit too. This is a good football team.
They are very, very, very. You don't hear a lot talked about that, like about very, them overall. They can win the playoffs.
That's why I brought up Joey McGuire. Got that extension.
Yeah,
no one's old talking about it, but he.
And they have a lot of money.
Who
too.
Wouldn't want that guy?
Tech has a lot of money.
Yeah, more money than anybody.
They have so much money right now.
Oil money.
Yeah.
Oil money.
Yeah. I mean, all those Texas schools have oil money.
Oil money.
But yeah, Tech's got a lot of money there. And look, David Bailey, Jacob Rodriguez, Romello Height. Romello Height had 1.5 sacks in this game. There's just that team is going to, Oklahoma State has a lot of oil money too. They just got Morris from North Texas. If they can tap into some of those resources and build on what they have there, you might have two oil money schools in the Big 12 in Texas Tech and Oklahoma State going at it for a while.
The cool thing about the Tech is it's all their players. They're like alumni.
Oh, yeah, and Mahomes obviously is involved in that as well.
And Cody Campbell, is like a former player.
Yeah.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Father, or should I call you Steve? Since it's a new year, maybe we should start cooking fresh with fewer smoke alarms this time. Your cooking's improving, but I can see the stress in your eyes. Anna's mom used this Blue Apron Assemble and Bake thing during our playdate. Pre-chopped ingredients, over 40 grams of protein, and just one pan to clean up. She just tossed it in the oven and boom, pleating like she's got followers. So go to blueapron.com, Steve. Make 2026 the year you win dinner. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders, plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So that game was not really that fun to watch because it was as one-sided as you can get. Oregon and Washington, though, I think was a good watch. 26-14, Oregon win over Washington. Dante Moore looked really good in this game. Yeah, 286 passing yards. He had two touchdowns, one in the air, one on the ground. Denzel Boston only had 25 receiving yards on four catches, but he had two touchdown catches. Dude, this kid is
really good. Him and Jonah Coleman seems to be the back, though. That's the one getting the run. They're watching back. And they just lost their offensive coordinator.
Right.
Will Stein to be head coach of Kentucky.
Yeah. No. Oregon. Yeah. Oregon.
Oregon's offensive coordinator. Oregon's.
He just left.
He's going to come back. Because Dean Lanning is the same situation at Georgia. So he's obviously going to let him come back.
Right. Yeah, you would think so. The interesting thing about it, you know what's funny is that you bring up Jonah Coleman. I don't think Jonah Coleman's the best running back on his team.
It could be a debate.
I think Adam Muhammad's a better running back.
But he's looked upon as
Jonah Coleman's really good.
But he's looked upon as the third or fourth best running back.
I've seen him up as high as two in this class. Huh? I don't think he is, but yeah, I've seen him as high as two.
They like the size.
But I think Adam Muhammad is better than him. Adam Muhammad is, to me, he looks like Kareem Hunt. Like the way that he's physical, the way that he is maneuvering around tacklers, not just trying to run through them. Oh, I love Jonah Coleman too, but Adam Muhammad might be better.
Muhammad had 14 carries for 105 yards in this game. Coleman had 9 for 22.
Yeah, he
7.5 average to 2.4.
Coleman has not been that good this year. Part of it's been due to injury.
Yeah,
but like Coleman's only he's less than 700 yards on the year, and Muhammad has been kind of slowly but surely gaining ground on him. Because I think Muhammad's just over 500.
He's 220 pound running back, man.
Yeah, dude, Muhammad is good. Dude, I'm telling y'all this right now. 27 class because he's not eligible this year.
He's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore. But
he didn't redshirt, did he?
I don't think he redshirted. I think he was a true freshman last year. But yeah, Adam Muhammad runs the football like a grown ass man. So yeah, watch out for him in 27. That 27 running back class, that might give this year's class a running back.
Ahmad Hardy right there.
Yeah, Ahmad Hardy and Kawan Lacy. Man, that's a good that 27 class, man. LSU took on Oklahoma and Norman. Another ugly game, not that exciting. John Mateer, 318 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he threw 3 picks in this game. He's done for the first round. He's probably done for the first 2 days. He's probably a third day guy if he gets drafted.
He can come back though.
He should come back. Yep. He should not have played. He has a broken hand.
A defense is legit, but that offense
not good. Isaiah Satania, though, he's good. 121 yards and a touchdown. Deion Burks has 61 yards and a touchdown in this game. So, like what they get for the receivers, they're going to have to hit the portal next year to get some receivers for Mateer if he comes back. Alabama-Auburn, Iron Bowl game, probably way too close than it should have been. Ty Simpson played awful in this game. He did have one of his 3 touchdown passes was great. You know, they were in the red zone. He threw it off his back foot, back of the end zone. Really awesome throw.
Well, they ran the ball well in this game, better because but they brought it up and they kept bringing it up because I've been telling you, they can't run the ball.
No.
They were 14 of 16 teams run the SEC. That takes pressure off Ty Simpson. He's doing it himself. You want one of these quarterbacks that does it all? Ty Simpson.
Yeah. Ty Simpson is very much, you know, doing everything he can to carry the team. But yeah, this game was not good at all. He didn't play very well in this game, and you know, overall as a unit offensively, you know, they're going to have to do something. That Georgia game, if the way these two teams played this past weekend follows through to this week, that SEC championship game is going to be ass. Like it's going to be a defensive battle, and it's just going to be who gets the most turnovers. That's really what's going to come down to, I think.
And Georgia's 16-9 win.
Yeah, it might be a sub 20 point victory. Like whoever wins might score less than 20 points in that SEC title game. Miami took on Pitt. Miami's trying to make a case for the college football playoff.
And they're making it.
They're definitely making it here. Carson Beck, 267, 3 touchdowns. Also threw a pick. He has an interception problem. Reuben Bain Jr., though, 1.5 sacks.
Good game for Reuben.
Yeah, making it. He's continuing to make a case for him being the top player in this draft class. And then Vandy took on Tennessee. Eli Stowers, 5 catches for 64 yards. For Tennessee, I mean, Vandy just beat the hell out of Tennessee. Beat them by 21,
35-24. Yeah, it sucks that they're not getting a chance to see it. I know, but it sucks because they're legit, and they're fun. And Pavia, love them or hate them. Yeah, we're not talking pro prospects with him.
He's a fun quarterback.
As far as
watch.
College football players, yeah. Diego Pavia is about as fun as he goes. What, 268 passing, 165 rushing. He is like a true dual threat. I mean, he's like the most dual threat of dual threat quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But he is what's fun to watch at Vanderbilt.
Right, yeah. He's a fun quarterback. They're just a fun team to watch. Clark Lee's done a great job there.
And he's staying. He didn't have to be staying. That's great.
And now he's got himself a 5-star quarterback to try to build around for the next few years.
Diego, I give him credit. He helped build up the program.
Yeah. No, give him his
credit. And Eli Stowers, too.
He'll be a hero if this team continues to be good after he's
imagine
done.
New Mexico State had Eli Stowers and Pavia.
Man, they'd be real good.
they're winning SEC games on the road. They're beating Auburn on the road.
It'd be really damn good. Deshaun Bishop for the Vols. He had 97 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. Chris Brazel had 91 and a touchdown in this game. And then you have Clemson taking on South Carolina. 28-14 win for the Tigers in this one. TJ Parker, man, edge rusher for them. 3 sacks in this game, man.
He was
just took over. I mean, in what is actually like a really great edge rush class.
Yeah,
like,
he played tough.
There's probably like 5 or 6 edge rushers that could go first round in this class. Will help their other edge rusher. He had 1.5 sacks in this game. Lenore Sellers, quarterback for the Gamecocks, 381, two touchdowns, two picks, two lost fumbles.
They let him throw.
Yeah, they let him throw, which is what we've been asking for. Nick Harbor, six catches, 115 yards. He put down basically almost two games worth of production in one game.
He has those games. You're like, why wasn't he doing this all year?
Yeah.
But when they eventually give him a chance, he's really good.
Yeah. It's like, hey, maybe you should do this more. So, you know, good game from him. Lenora Sellers got to cut out the turnovers. He turned over four times. You got to cut that out. That doesn't look good for the tape. But Nick Harbor, man. So that's it for our recap. Let's get to our money makers here. My first money maker, Davison Igbinison, the cornerback for Ohio State. Game ceiling pick against Michigan. Good, bigger size corner. It's like he's about 6'2", 190 or so. So the size you would want on for an outside corner. He could play man. He could play zone. This is a guy I would look at, you know, middle rounds, maybe like, you know, somewhere in the middle part of day two, late day two. He could be a guy that a team like the Chiefs could use at corner for sure. I think he could do everything you look for. He's got the physical traits that the team is looking for. I think with the way he's played here as of late, and especially in this game, he definitely made himself some money. Who's your first moneymaker?
First moneymaker is Ka'Tron Allen.
He had a really good game.
It was him or Singleton. That backfield's pretty good at Penn State. They kind of let things down a little bit, but Ka'Tron Allen didn't. But he had 226. I had 261. Ended up with 226 and a touchdown, two catches for 12 yards. Big reason why they're 6-6. Big reason why they're in the playoffs. And by the way, Singleton had 86 yards in this game as well. But Ka'Tron, man, got to throw him on here because he's going to be one of the top running backs selected as well.
Yeah, and especially with there being other guys kind of right around him.
Yeah.
And, you know, with him, maybe
he stood out to me.
He might not be the craziest athlete at running back, but he definitely is one of those guys that's like very consistent in how he performs, and he's done really well with the volume he's gotten this year. Yeah, he's made himself so much money this year. My second moneymaker, Will Helt, the edge rusher for Clemson, the other edge rusher for Clemson, because TJ Parker is their top guy, probably going to be a top 15 pick in the draft next year. Will Helt's got 7.5 sacks on the year. He's had 3.5 in his last four. He had 1.5 this past weekend against South Carolina. This is a guy that I don't necessarily think for sure is going to enter next year's draft. He might wait because Helt is someone that could probably be one of, if not the top edge rusher in the 27 class if he were to come back. So I think he's looked pretty good this year. Next year will be a really good test if he does come back. Because, you know, we talk about all the time, like, second man syndrome. It's like, you're the second guy at your position. There's a guy that's better than you on the opposite side. How do you do when you become that top guy? It might be better for him if he were to come back. But, you know, I definitely think performances like this make him money if he were to go out this year, next year. So, he's my second money maker. Who's yours?
Jack Andrews, tight end at Texas. Again, you see these numbers and it doesn't blow you away. But 4 for 93 is his best game. His previous high was 52 yards. So this is a big game. This is Texas A&M playing Texas, big rivalry game. Texas A&M, you know, had a chance to go to the SEC title game, but they lost. But Jack Andrews is a big thing with that, with not only the blocking, but the catching, the athleticism he showed. Again, numbers aren't going to jump out at you. But as far as making money, he needed this game against good competition, and he did it.
Yeah, he absolutely did. This was the game he needed to go out there and show that he could produce. And, I agree with you. I think that this was definitely a money-making performance from injuries. So let's get to our championship weekend watch list. Not very big because there's not a whole lot of championship games that are that worth watching. I will be watching the American Championship on Friday because my football team's head coach, John Sumrall, is going to be coaching Tulane against North Texas against Eric Morris, the head coach for North Texas.
The last 4 years, he's been in the conference championship game, going back to Troy.
Yeah, going back to Troy. He has been.
They got a good coach. To me, that's the right guy to get.
I was a big fan.
They hit a home run with this.
I was a big fan of it. I was like, if you're not going to get Drinkwitz, then Sumrall to me was the guy to get. And he's, you know, good temperament. I liked how he talked in his opening press conference. So I will absolutely be trying to watch this game. I'll probably watch it Saturday morning because, you know, we got the holiday party for Odyssey. But Saturday morning, I'm going to get up. I'm going to turn this game on. I'm going to watch it. And we'll see how my coach does. Maybe Summerall gets them to the college football playoff. There's a chance that they get in if they win their conference.
He's hard does, man. Good coach.
Yeah, I like him a lot. So, Saturday, you've got three games you're going to be watching here on our watch list, starting out with BYU and Texas Tech. Big 12 championship game, Kalani Sitake, not going to be Penn State's head coach. He got extra money to stay there in Utah. So he's going to be going up against this very, very loaded Texas Tech team. Guys, you're going to watch
a rematch. Texas Tech handled them first time.
Yeah, because they played a few weeks ago, and Texas Tech beat – they smacked them around.
That's where game day was.
Yeah, they were. David Bailey, the edge rusher, could be the top player taken in this draft class. Romello Height and Jacob Rodriguez, linebackers for the
former quarterback of Virginia, Jacob Rodriguez, stud man,
yeah. So you
absolute stud.
Yeah, he leads the country in fumble recoveries. He's real good. So.
He's awesome.
SEC championship might be the ugliest game of the weekend. Georgia, Alabama. You're looking at Gunnar Stockton there, though his stock really isn't that great. Zachariah Branch, wide receiver, Oscar Delp, tight end. Christian Miller, this is definitely going to be the guy you're looking out for. And then linebacker C.J. Allen has got a lot of good run as of late for the Bulldogs. For Alabama, you're going to be looking at Ty Simpson, possible top 10 quarterback in this class. Jeremy Bernard, a good mid-second-day guy at receiver. Caden Proctor, maybe the most athletic player. It's either him or Nick Harbor, who are the most athletic players in this draft class, I think. And then LT Overton, the edge rusher for Bama, and Deontay Lawson, the linebacker.
And Lane Kiffin will be watching Ryan Williams, the transfer to LSU.
Oh, he's going to try his best to go
grab. We're talking about 27 draft classes.
Oh, he's going to be trying his best to go grab him, for sure. Yeah. And then the last one you're going to be looking at is the Big Ten Championship. That's going to be Indiana and Ohio State. For Indiana, you're going to be watching their quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, who could be the top quarterback taken in this class. You're probably looking at somewhere in the mid part of the top 10 for him.
I think Roman Hemby becomes a really player to watch. I've liked Roman Hemby for a long time this year. But
you have been talking
again,
about
I think they have five draftable guys in this offense.
Yeah, they do. I think so. I think that all five of the guys will be drafted. You brought up Roman Hemby. He's a guy to watch out for. They're running back. And then there are three top wide receivers. Elijah Surratt, I know he's been hurt as of late. We'll see how
he played last week.
Yeah, we'll see what he does in this game. E.J. Williams, Omar Cooper Jr., the other wide receivers. And then for Ohio State, you got Carnell Tate, you know, one of the top receivers in this class. You know, I think definitely a first-round pick at receiver. Max Clair, you know, I'd probably say he's battling it out for like number three tight end right now because I go.
And again, I don't think Max's numbers were great, but no. Man, if you watch his,
he's effective.
You watched him, he was very effective blocking. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you're looking Sadiq number one at tight end. Below him is Eli Stowers. And then after him, probably like Claire injuries, you know, one of those guys. But you got him. You've got Kenyatta Jackson, the edge rusher. You've got Arvell Reese, the linebacker slash edge rusher. Sonny Styles, linebacker. Davison Igbinison, the corner. And Caleb Downs, the safety, probably a top five pick in next year's draft as well. So that's it. That is the watch list. There's only three games that for sure you should be watching this weekend because it's just not a lot going on as far as games go. But we do have the transfer portal. That's going to be kicking off here. We're already starting to see names be announced for
and
players.
And be careful. There's so many fake reports.
Oh, yeah.
This one about Jeremiah Love transferring for Notre Dame when you're going to be with a top running back. No, seriously. If there was a credible media.
Who believes that?
I love looking at the retweets. And it's like it's on three is legitimate, not three
yeah. On three is the one that
but
you want.
But that's
wanna,
a parody. But anyway, yeah. But it, like credible media people have been retweeting. It. There's so much fake stuff out there right now. Like it's tough to follow college football news. You really got to look at the follower count because there's so many people being fooled by these things. Just it's logical to happen, but not a draft pick like Jeremiah Love.
Yeah, no. If you believe that, you're just gonna believe.
I'm just saying
whatever.
You got to be careful what you're doing. And it's just always. Dude, I'm shocked the amount of people believe crap that comes out.
Right, yeah. So, if it's on three, that's probably your best source. They've become the top.
Instead of 247 Sports, 274. It's been killing everybody.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, yeah. And like I said, on three is probably the best. That's where I go for my recruiting news.
Yeah.
They post, like, really good videos on YouTube talking about, like, the recruiting races and whatnot. So that's going to be the one to look out for. We'll have a list. If there's any notable players that are announced to enter the portal, we will bring that out. We will talk about it on next week's podcast. Maybe even do a little bit of breakdown on some of these early signing day classes because, man, like nowadays what we're starting to see is a lot of these kids, they come in and they're a lot quicker to get playing.
Well, let's see what the Chiefs team does because we may need to do another mock draft. I'm just saying.
We may absolutely need to.
I'm just saying, man.
If Sunday Night Football does not go well.
Yeah, I know.
It might be time to do some mock drafting. Yep. We'll see. So
back to mocks.
I'm excited about what we're going to see here in college football, and I really, really hope that we got some good Chiefs talk to have next week instead of doing mock drafts. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Kristen Osero. Make sure you download, like, subscribe on whatever platform you're on. Tell your friends about us. We appreciate the support that you guys give us. And stay safe out there in the cold weather in Kansas City because, it's been bad. We got snowed out yesterday. It's the reason why we're doing it tonight. So, but, yeah, we appreciate the support you guys give us. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.